Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Get a grip of this madhouse. They were the words of the former senior advisor to the British Prime Minister, Dominic Cummings. A new blog post by the former advisor yesterday challenged Boris Johnson's recollection of that controversial Downing Street party or parties. And it gives further detail about his account of the discussions leading up to the party. Now, the garden party is one of a number of Downing Street events being investigated by Sue Gray, a senior civil servant. She's expected to report back at the end of this week at the earliest, although that timeline might change given these latest revelations. And I'm joined on the line by Associate Editor with the Daily Mirror, Kevin Maguire. Kevin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Dominic Cummings strikes again, describing the party in May of 2020. And the entire day, he says, was a particularly intense shambles of a day. And he challenges Boris Johnson's accounts of the parties. And he accuses him of lying to Parliament, which is a pretty serious thing to level at anybody.
It is. And the Deputy Prime Minister and Justice Secretary, Dominic Robb, said today, admitted that if the Prime Minister was found guilty of lying about this, he would usually be expected to resign. But Dominic Cummings and Boris Johnson were as thick as thieves. They led the Brexit campaign in 2016. Dominic Cummings went into Downing Street as the Prime Minister's closest advisor, but they fell out when Dominic Cummings lost a power battle, partly with the Prime Minister's wife at the end of 2020. And since then, he's been the most ferocious critic of Boris Johnson, and he is orchestrating much of the leaking that is going on. Mm-hmm. What he needs is, because he would be considered an unreliable witness himself, Dominic Cummings, because, of course, he misled people about his own COVID rule breaking in 2020 when he went on a drive to Barnard Castle while he had COVID. He would need
eyes.
Corroboration. Mm. Absolutely. The infamous eye test drive, which nobody bought. He would need corroboration. But the party he refers to is the one in which there was the leaked email in which a civil servant, the private secretary to the Prime Minister, said, "It's a lovely day, bring your own booze."
Yeah, and we'll talk about more about that in a moment. You mentioned Dominic Raab, though, and I just want people to hear what he said this morning on BBC Breakfast. And he was asked by Sally Nugent about these claims that Dominic Cummings has made. Let's hear what Dominic Raab had to say.
It is quite right to say that both accounts cannot be reconciled, and the Prime Minister has been very clear that what has been suggested overnight is not true.
How many more of these revelations do you think might be coming, and how many more of them can the Prime Minister bat away?
Well, look, how do I know how many claims are going to make its way into the media? And the veracity of them is for Sue Gray to decide. And the PM's gone to the House of Commons, given a very clear statement, taken questions for half an hour, and ultimately we'll need Sue Gray to report to clear up all of the different questions, assertions and claims.
Mr. Raab, you're Deputy Prime Minister, and you don't know what might be coming down the line.
Sorry, with the greatest respect, I don't know what someone with animus might be leaking into the newspapers. What I do know is that we take this very seriously, understand the frustration people may have and will have with any reality or perception of double standards. It's precisely why the investigation by Sue Gray is being conducted, and precisely because I take it seriously that I'm not going to interfere with it and allow it to run its course and report back with the full transparency that the PM has made clear will come with that.
That's interesting that they don't seem to have a handle on what might have happened in terms of the number of parties in Downing Street over this period of time, Kevin.
No, it is extraordinary, and they look very vulnerable because of it. The leaking is absolutely relentless. People who were in Downing Street earlier in the Prime Minister's reign have fallen out, have left with him. We get extraordinary details now, including those two parties on the eve of the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral, which, of course, will always be remembered for the Queen sitting alone in the chapel in Windsor because she was following COVID regulations. While in Downing Street, they sent out a suitcase to be filled with booze from a local co-op and actually had a DJ playing music so they could dance. Now, the Prime Minister wasn't at that, but they just do not know what is next going to come and hit them. And that it makes their denials, which they have to keep shifting, makes them rather flimsy. And nobody now really believes them.
And Kevin, just going back to what Dominic Cummings had to say. So he said that this invitation came out from the Principal Private Secretary, Martin Reynolds. Cummings goes to him and says, this event is in breach of the rules. Reynolds then says, I'm going to go and check with the Prime Minister. And Dominic Cummings is saying that the Prime Minister just waved the concerns away.
Correct, which completely contradicts the Prime Minister's claim in the House of Commons last Wednesday. One, it wasn't a party, it was just an extension of a work event. And secondly, he knew about no concerns, no planning, none of the info that's come out since. So Dominic Cummings is saying that is just absolutely untrue and he has lied. Mm-hmm. The problem we have in terms of getting to the truth, which as journalists we want for the public, is you have two people with proven track records of not telling the truth. So yeah, who do you believe?
Yeah, and Dominic Cummings says that other people witness this, but nobody else seems to be coming forward or putting their head above the parapet to say, yeah, I was there too and I back Dominic Cummings.
No, that's absolutely right. If somebody came forward and corroborated Dominic Cummings' account, then I think the Prime Minister would be in a very, very difficult and serious position. But until then, Downing Street will keep issuing those denials. We do not know who Sue Gray, the civil servant doing the investigation, has spoken to. Yes, Boris Johnson, but it doesn't appear at this stage she's spoken to Dominic Cummings or anybody else he could point her towards. Her report now is expected at the end of next week, and that could slip again because the allegations keep on coming. It's utterly relentless.
And he said, Cummings has said, that there are lots of photographs, or there should be lots of photographs, but we haven't seen any evidence that they exist yet.
No, not of this event. There was a previous event. We did see photographs. That was on the 15th of May 2020. In fact, Dominic Cummings was in that picture, which is why he said that wasn't a party, that was a work event. Cummings has his own agenda.
You see, that's it again. The credibility factor is a big problem for him here.
Yeah, there's no doubt there have been parties and it was denied there were parties. Otherwise, Allegra Stratton, the press spokeswoman, wouldn't have resigned after a leaked video showed her laughing about a COVID party cover-up. We also have the apology to Buckingham Palace for the two parties on the eve of the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral. They wouldn't have apologised if they hadn't happened. But to get the exact detail, what the Prime Minister knew, where he was, what was happening, there are still question marks over that. I think people are pretty revolted, all those who made sacrifices, couldn't visit loved ones in hospital, go to funerals properly. There's still a huge public backlash, but there are still questions to be answered.
Yeah, what's your sense of that, of how the voting public are taking this? Because I did hear one reporter say that when they went back to their constituency at the weekend, that there wasn't that much in terms of backlash or feedback to them. They've had a lot of emails, but in terms of people coming up to them when they go back home, not really happening. I mean, do you agree with that, or do you think that this is a huge moment?
Yeah, if that was Peter Bowen, the Wellingborough MP, some of his colleagues were laughing at him and saying his experiences must be very different to theirs. You could look nationally because Labour has now gone into a 14-point lead. That's the highest it's been for a decade. Conservative MPs report they get a lot of stick and abuse, and they're getting emails and letters from people they don't normally hear from, because all MPs will have a group they are closely linked to because they vote for them. Then they will have another group who are just implacably opposed and complain about everything. But it seems another group that's rarely heard has been stirred up, and they just feel it's wrong. And other Conservative MPs admit their own disgust and say they're ashamed at what's happened. And they really don't try to defend the Prime Minister, the hostile voters. I think, no, the mood is pretty grim for the Prime Minister. It doesn't mean he will topple, although I'll be very surprised now if he lasts the year, but he's really, really fighting for his political life.
And we have Operation Save Big Dog underway, which apparently involves getting rid of all of the officials who might have organised these parties and the people who are seen to surround Boris Johnson at Downing Street. And then on the other side, you've got Operation Rinka. So these are the rebel Tories who are upping the pressure on Boris Johnson to quit. And one of those, I think unlikely in most people's view, who joined that brigade is the Tory MP Andrew Bridgen. And he has publicly said that he has no confidence in the Prime Minister. He's been talking about his constituents' reaction to the controversy. He was on BBC's Newsnight last night, Kevin. We'll have a listen to some of what Andrew Bridgen had to say.
Now, this is the most emails that I've personally had. I can't speak for other MPs, but I'm sure their inbox is rather similar. And obviously the worrying events this evening, that Dominic Cummings' recollection of the party on the 20th, that directly contradicts the statement that the Prime Minister Boris Johnson gave to Parliament last week. Clearly, Sue Gray's got to fully investigate and question all the witnesses that are available, get to the truth, and if it does transpire that she judges that the Prime Minister has misled Parliament, then clearly that's very, very serious matter, and I think it's probably career-ending.
All right, Andrew Bridgen carrying on there despite the interruption in the background, Kevin. But when you see people like him and also the MP Steve Baker side with the people or start to feel uncomfortable, let's say, with Boris Johnson and his leadership. And, you know, Steve Baker, I think, has said in the last day or so, let's see what Sue Gray has to say, which is very far away from giving your entire and full backing to the Prime Minister.
It certainly is. And Steve Baker was a big supporter of Brexit along with Boris Johnson. Andrew Bridgen, we heard just there, another backer of Brexit and supported Boris Johnson in the 2019 leadership campaign within the Tory party. So when they either speak out or begin to express doubts, that's got to be worrying for number 10. I don't think the Prime Minister can rely on much of his party at the moment. A lot of them are doing as Steve Baker is. They're expressing concern and they're waiting to see what Sue Gray produces in that report, which, I, as I say, we expect it at the end of next week now. But of course, if more allegations come forward and she feels she has to speak to yet more people, then it could slip a little further back.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to remind us what needs to happen for a leadership contest to take place, because it's a kind of a complex mechanism, Kevin, in order to trigger that.
Yeah, it requires 54 Conservative MPs, I think it's about 15% of the parliamentary party, to submit letters of no confidence in the Prime Minister requesting a leadership ballot. We know six are in publicly, including Andrew Bridgen's, but the Tory whips think there are 20. That's what they think, but no one really knows. Now, if that ballot is held, a simple majority of Conservative MPs saying they no longer have confidence in the Prime Minister would force him to resign and he couldn't stand again. Then they would pick a new leader who would become the Prime Minister. However, if Boris Johnson won that ballot of Conservative MPs, he would be safe from another internal challenge for a year.
You see, the question they have to ask themselves is, you know, Boris Johnson may not win an election for us, but do we have anybody in our ranks who can go out there and win an election? And I'm not sure that they have that person there, do they?
No, well, that's the calculation MPs are making. Is Boris Johnson a vote winner or is he a liability? If he's not the vote winner he used to be, would anybody else do better than he would? That's the big calculation. The Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, is very lukewarm in his support for the Prime Minister, is a front runner, should Boris Johnson be toppled. Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary, equally is keeping quiet and out of it most of the time. I'm based in Westminster. It's where I work. I spend a lot of time in the Houses of Parliament, and you see knots of Conservative MPs now in little huddles, all quietly discussing, I would imagine, the fate of the Prime Minister and the fate of the government and the fate, let's not forget this, of themselves.
Kevin, thank you very much for your time once again. Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor there with The Daily Mirror. We'll take a quick break. More after this.